The following is a CSPN Media podcast presentation.
Let me tell you what, who deserves a shot in the United States heavyweight.
Let's hear it.
I'm the champion. I ought to know. You know, I've been sizing up guys since I came to the WCW. And I think the one guy that stands out the most, the guy that I think has earned a title shot, El Dandy, I think you're a heck of a wrestler. You're a great technician in the ring, and you're a jam-up guy. Whoa. I don't see any reason.
Wait a minute. El Dandy has been wrestling in the cruiserweight division here. Please.
He's a great wrestler.
He's a great wrestler, but thank goodness sakes, it's 50 pounds.
Who are you to doubt El Dandy? Because this guy's a serious professional.
Well, let's talk about some serious
professionals. How about hypnosis? Let's get to
psychosis.
Whatever. He's a great wrestler, you know.
Hello, and welcome to this episode of The Rawcast. I'm your host, Don DeLaRente, and I'm joined by, once again, Mr. Mo to the underscore Reese. What's going on, Mo Reese?
Man, I'm making more appearances than Charlotte Flair at this moment. So, you know, watch out, WrestleCan fans.
Well, if this continues to play out like the storylines, you better watch out.
I know. Who gonna attack me? Sam, don't come for me, bro.
This is The Rawcast. We are part of The WrestleCast. You can subscribe to The Rawcast through the WrestleCast feed by just searching for The WrestleCast - the CSPN on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, Google Play, Spotify, all of those good places where you find your podcast at. So please subscribe, rate, and review all the episodes here underneath the WrestleCast banner. So, Mo to the underscore, last week on Wednesday when we talked on the Dark Match and NXT cast, we didn't know, scratching the surface of the exposure of these professional wrestlers and their... you know, interactions with women, most of them being very negative. It all started with David Starr, and then all of a sudden that unearthed a whole host of the European talent. And a lot of those guys have been fired or have been disciplined by their prospective companies. Jack Gallagher got up out of the paint quick from WWE. Jordan Devlin didn't get out of the paint, but he issued a statement on his behalf regarding the allegations.
I think I've read that Progress suspended him.
Okay, well.
But WWE didn't do anything with him, but Progress suspended him. Him and his partner, his tag team partner, I believe.
Well, that was just the beginning. Because the American wrestlers had their day over the weekend, most notably Joey Ryan. I mean, when the dude has a nickname and a sleaze, I mean, just trying to tell you.
Right. That was a given. And we're not saying a given, like, it's just that I knew when I heard that his name got brought up, I was like, I wasn't surprised at all because of his gimmick and everything.
Yes, Joey Ryan, several women came out with very similar stories about how he gets down, and none of them were good or under the guise of consent. So Joey Ryan deleted his Twitter. He got fired from Impact. Bar Wrestling got shut down, so basically he's been canceled completely. So no more Joey Ryan. And then
also on the AEW side, they took off all his episodes on Being the Elite. They pulled all his episodes from YouTube. So everybody's disassociating with him.
Yeah, getting separated with the quickness. Candice LeRae, probably everybody knows that her and Joey Ryan were pretty tight due to their intergender tag team that they had set up on the independents, and she was just talking about how mortified and horrified she was with the different allegations and the number of women who he's been a predator on. So not a good situation. So he's out. The Chris brothers, they're also out of Impact. Both of those guys, they got fired as well because their names got caught up in it. Seems like Impact was the place where a lot of the American wrestlers were employed. They got caught up in the scandal. And then, just when we thought it was dying down on Monday morning, old interview surfaced where Sammy Guevara uses some less than flattering words, though, about what he'd like to do to Sasha Banks. We're not going to repeat it here, but just, you know, it rhymes with tape. And so that resurfaced. I think this was from 2016 or so. But, you know, right now, this is just not the time to have anything out there like that lingering. Ask Jimmy Kimmel. And so Sammy Guevara, he got suspended indefinitely from AEW for those comments. He's going to go through sensitivity training. And then they said his salary during this time is going to be donated to like a women's center. And yeah, and then I guess after 3 weeks, a month, they'll kind of review his status and see if he's able to come back.
So there was a clip from, he had a tryout at the PC Center. This kind of, I discovered this as well. So this is when Lacey Evans was like, she's a trainer. I guess she was a trainer down there and at the Performance Center before she became a full-time wrestler. And so he made a comment. I guess he called the baby. And she didn't like that. She was like, definitely was turned off by him calling her baby and everything. So it goes to show that, you know, even though he probably was in his character or whatnot, and he came off at her the wrong way, she, you know, she don't play at all.
Right. Yeah, she is definitely straight edge, straight laced. So I could definitely see her not being called baby by somebody she doesn't know like that to that extent. So another not a great set of news topics this week for professional wrestling. Just a lot of people out here doing a lot of bad things to women, people who they're supposed to be their friends. And hopefully that, you know, they continue to get exposed and, you know, get put up out the paint. You know, people always knew Michael Elgin was a piece of crap, so they just like slapped him on the wrist because it's always been known he's a piece of crap. But everybody else that was down with the Impact stuff, they've been the guys anyway, they've been fired. I saw Tessa Blanchard was on the list. I didn't hear no story behind it, but she's still employed and hasn't been suspended or anything, so maybe that was just, you know.
Keith Lee, if you go on his Twitter account, he details a story that something that happened to him and why he doesn't. He said he just randomly, he says all of a sudden one day after his incident, he just never drunk again. So, I mean, never like drink alcohol again. So, you know, it's just goes to show that it's happened to a lot of people out here. So, you know, if people are speaking out, and it's like people don't want to, and it's like, you know, they it's like people, they speaking out, and at the same time, they putting their careers at risk. That's unfair to them that they're detailing something that happened to them, and at the same time, they're going to get blackballed in the wrestling industry because they talking about, you know, the culture and everything that goes on there, and it's just not right. You have to get the bad ones out of there, you know, so that, you know, things could just flourish.
Exactly. So, you know, just thoughts and, you know, shouts out to all the ladies who, you know, showed so much bravery in coming out and telling their stories over the past week or so. I know it hasn't been easy for a lot of people, but the fact that they were able to do it and, you know, shed a light on these people at this point in time, you know, took a lot of courage, and we definitely championed them for that. So we'll talk about Monday Night Raw. Speaking of champions, Drew McIntyre's here. He's looking like a champion. He's got the slacks and the button-up shirt. He's got the title held high. He calls tonight Championship Monday and brings up R-Truth hastily offering up his title. But that was in the past, and he wants to look towards a bright, bright future. Dolph Ziggler is here. He interrupts him. Dolph in his man bun. Have to get Didi Janae's take on that. How she felt about that. He's here to surprise Drew. He says that AJ Styles has been traded to SmackDown, and in return, Raw gets Dolph Ziggler and his tag team partner, Bobby Roode. Ziggler says no one is happy to see Drew. No one is as happy to see Drew as the champion as him. He would hate to see Drew lose the title before he got what he was owed. Drew wonders what he was owed. Dolph says Drew has seemingly forgotten his redemption story. Drew was here years ago and he got fired. He should have been done, and he would have been if it wasn't for Ziggler. Drew was at his lowest point. Dolph picked him up and brought him here. Drew came to Raw because of Dolph. They became dominant tag team champions because of Dolph, and now Drew is a dominant WWE champion because of Dolph. Drew questions Dolph's claims of who was responsible for his success. Let's look at Dolph, though. Since they've split, it hasn't been smooth sailing. Without Big Daddy Claymore, Dolph has been losing a whole lot. He came from SmackDown to Raw, a two-for-one special. Dolph isn't untalented, but he's become exactly what they used to despise. He's become an entitled jackass. The world doesn't own anything, but Drew does need an opponent. Dolph gave him a nickname, the Scottish Psychopath. Imagine what Drew is capable of with the title on the line. How far he will go. Does Dolph really want this match? Drew makes it official at Extreme Rules. It's Dolph Ziggler versus Drew McIntyre for the WWE title.
Now, how do you get traded? You go from the story of, you know, doing the love triangle with Otis and Mandy. Get dropped from that, essentially, go to Raw, get a title shot on a span of weeks.
Well, hey man, AJ went from Raw to SmackDown to become the Intercontinental Champion. So, I mean, it's got to, you know, got to have some type of reward for getting switched over, I guess.
Yeah. And the fact that Drew called himself Big Daddy Claymore had me laughing last night. I said, these nicknames.
Might want to put that on a shirt rather soon.
Hey, now, you know, if that does pop up on a t-shirt, hey.
Nia Jax comes out. Commentary claims that she isn't scheduled at this time. Nia calls for a chair. She enters the ring with the chair. She takes a seat. Nia says it must be Monday because Charlotte got exactly what she wanted, whether she deserved it or not. Nia says she was cheated at Backlash, then again last week by a biased ref. Where's the fairness? R-Truth, the harbinger of fairness, he's here. Truth says Nia is confused. Truth is supposed to have a match against an evil leader of a ninja clan, Akira Tozawa, for his title. Unless Nia is the real Akira Tozawa. Ninjas, you know, are a master of disguise. Nia takes offense. She's not in the mood for all this. Truth says he's not in the mood to be okey-doked. Akira is by the commentary desk. He's kind of like hiding behind the back of a chair when three of the ninjas circle the ring and they chase R-Truth through the crowd. Your thoughts on R-Truth coming in thinking that Nia was a ninja? I mean, she's kind of dressed like it.
I'm laughing at the fact that he thought that she would be a ninja or something of that nature. And the fact that she's like, I know she had to look like, what are you talking about? Yeah. But it was a nice little segment to set up R-Truth getting chased by the ninjas. We didn't see our boy, though, but, you know.
Yeah, tall Bruce Leroy wasn't here this week, so I don't know what was going on. Nia is upset. She says she isn't leaving this chair until, and that's when Charlotte Flair interrupts. Charlotte says Nia squandered her last two title matches. She dropped the ball. She didn't get her way, and now she's throwing a hissy fit. Nia says that Charlotte gets what she wants because her daddy is Ric Flair. Charlotte takes umbrage because, speaking of families, Nia calls her delusional. Flair says she is, yet it was her dad who ended Asuka's streak, right? It was her dad who beat Asuka twice last month. That's when Charlotte attacks. Nia fights back. Charlotte hits Charlotte removes her robe and the refs come down to break up the fight. Charlotte hits a big boot on Nia and attacks some more as the refs try to break it up. Nia looks like that she can murder every ref in the ring right now. Charlotte wants some more. Refs continue to keep them separated and Charlotte hurts her left arm during this kerfuffle.
Now, was John Cone one of the refs? I kind of like took my eyes off the TV for a minute, but was John Cone one of the refs down there running? Because she probably wanted to pop him for last week.
I didn't notice if John Cone was in there or not. But yeah, that would have been funny if she would have made like a beeline straight for him. Backstage, the Street Profits say tonight ends the series between them and the Viking Raiders. It all comes down to the title match. The Viking Raiders need to know that, and that's when Eric comes in saying he heard their name and wonders what the message is. The Viking Profits are not the now. They aren't for life. They aren't the NWO. They're forever, okay? They became friends through all this. They do a little jingle showing unity. But even though they're friends, when the bell rings, it's on. They've been chasing the Vikings since the jump, and they'll do what it takes to get their W. The Viking Raiders said there's nothing that's going to stop them from getting their gold, so bring the smoke. Ibar says they'll see the Street Profits in the ring, fam. They walk out of frame. In comes Zelina Vega with a smirk and an idea. Here we go. The culmination of the last month between the Street Profits and the Viking Raiders. This is for the Raw Tag Team titles. Ibar heads to the top rope. Splash, but he misses. We get the cash out from Dawkins. The Vikings hug the Profits and all four raise hands in the air. But what happens is we get the From the Heavens from Montez Ford right after that cash out by Dawkins. And so they get the win. The Street Profits retain. This was like a freaking big move match. Like, we got like 7 minutes and everybody gonna get all their big moves in.
So, you know what was crazy about this match? What one part was crazy about this match that had me like, when Montez hit the, dove to the outside and got caught, but then got tossed into Angelo Dawkins.
Right.
That goes, the way how that whole set up, I was just like, and I watched it a few times, how he caught him. I was just like, yo. I was just like, it was just like, you know, just seamless. And then he just threw him right into Angelo Dawkins. So I was just like, oh, man, it's crazy.
Yeah, the crazy strength.
And that one, they caught him. They caught him in the ring and did, I don't know if it was a Samoan drop or just a regular drop or something like that. They had both of them up in the air. And people be trying to say wrestling fake, but I'm just like, you can't, they two big men. That's a lot of meat that you carrying around.
So after the match, this is when the Viking Raiders hug the Street Profits and all four raise their hands in the air. The Viking Raiders leave, and just as the Street Profits start to celebrate, in from behind come Andrade and Angel Garza. They beat down the Street Profits a little bit until the Viking Raiders return to make the save.
So it looks like they are either trying to, long-term booking, so to speak, either have a program with, between Angel Garza and Andrade with the Viking Raiders, and it leads up to either title match for them against Street Profits. So those two are in the line for like probably the next in the line for like the tag team's title shots, which I can say is a good look. Hopefully that this is what brings Binky back to TV, because they kept her off of TV because she really didn't fit in the whole that storyline with Viking Raiders and Street Profits. That's why I kept her off of TV. But hopefully with Zelina in the fray, this can bring her back out and she can get in the mix as well too.
Before they do Binky and Zelina,
I'm not talking about them fighting. I'm just talking about just have her.
In the mix.
I'm not talking about them two fighting. No,
I'm talking about the match. I want to see it later. Backstage, Seth Rollins is staring out into nothingness. His disciples come in. They say they've been thinking, but Seth stops them. He's got a message, and soon all will be revealed. Seth is backstage saying, sometimes in life we are destined for roles beyond our choices. He didn't choose to be a Messiah, just like Ray didn't choose to be a sacrifice. Seth has embraced and accepted his role in the greater good, while Ray has been defiant, and defiance breeds suffering. The saddest part in all of this is that he's allowed his son to get involved. Seth wants to know whatever becomes of Ray or his son from this moment forward is on the head of Ray Mysterio. Guilt is what Ray will have to harbor because the greater good is coming for us all. There's nothing you can do to stop it. He's heard it said that legends never die, but they sure as hell can outlive their welcome. Charlotte is with Charlie and her arm is all taped up. She says it will be just fine holding up the women's Raw title when she gets it. Charlotte then walks away. Then Charlie notices Zelina out of the corner of her eye. She walks up, says hello to Angel and Andrade, but not Zelina. She says it was surprising seeing them two act as a unit, but what prompted the attack? Garza says when you know what you want, you have to be willing to take risk. It's like being with a beautiful woman. So, of course, you know, him and Charlie continue their little flirtation. Right. That's when Zelina is like, she says,
yeah, she ain't play that.
She says that we all need to know that we are looking at a united front. They have taken their differences and turned them into a strength. And soon they will be taking a common prize, the Raw Tag Team titles. That's the match I want to see. Zelina and Charlie.
Oh,
it's been bubbling for like 3 months.
Yeah, Charlie.
I don't know if Charlie can wrestle, but the way that they've been playing it, her and Zelina, they always got that tension.
Yeah.
So I'd like to see that match if it could possibly happen. Asuka versus Charlotte Flair, Raw Women's Championship match. Charlotte drags Asuka to the center of the ring. She spins for the figure eight. We get the inside cradle from Asuka for a two count. The arm bar follows immediately. Charlotte is trying to escape. Then Asuka gets the choke, and then she gets a modified triangle. Charlotte lifts Asuka up for the sit-out powerbomb, but Asuka holds on. She locks on the Asuka lock, and Charlotte Flair taps, and Asuka finally beat Charlotte Flair.
She made all four of the four horsewomen tap at some point in her WWE career.
Big Boss Charlotte took her three chances.
Well, you know, best things come in three.
Gosh. So long overdue for Asuka to get this win over Charlotte. The whole timeline was in an uproar, except for, you know, that one guy.
Yeah.
What's up, Challenge Shogun? So Charlotte asked Nia if what she did to Charlotte had anything to do with the outcome of the match. Nia says it would be a real shame for someone to kick the queen while she's down. We get a video package highlighting Randy Orton's dastardly deeds, and then we get Edge seated in a ring to talk about his future. He says that Orton tore his tricep off the bone with an RKO, but he kicked out and kept fighting. Orton will tell himself and the world that he kept me hanging around to prove a point, but he says that's BS. He saw it. He felt the panic from locking on the anti-venom, and Orton accidentally hit a low blow. He saw Raw last week, and he saw that Orton is calling himself the greatest wrestler ever. Shout it. Put it on a shirt. Who cares? Whatever he needs to do, because beating Edge means that much in Orton's world. In Edge's world, beating Orton is what he expected to do. He is disappointed that he didn't see the low blow coming or that he didn't do it first. That's not going to happen again. Orton says Edge lit a fire in his gut, brought back the Legend Killer. Well, this match, this injury, being unable to pick up his daughters on Father's Day, showed him that something's been dormant for far too long. When Orton questioned Christian's manhood when he knew he couldn't wrestle, then punted him, that's his best friend of 36 years. He's walked with Edge through everything in life. When Orton did what he did, he put the PG superstar who had been walking around happy and ecstatic to be doing what he loved to bed. For that, Edge is thankful. He broke up the side of Edge that will sink to any level to get what he wants. Doesn't care how many backs he bruises or steps on to get to the top. He doesn't care about winning a wrestling match now. He will embarrass Orton, emasculate him, make you wish Cowboy Bob was firing blanks on the night Orton was conceived. When Randy comes home, his kids will run up to him, but they'll stop and ask Orton if he's okay, and he won't be. When Orton hugs Kim and they can't look each other in the eyes, they'll both know what's coming. Orton has voices in his head, but Edge has a chorus. And he says he will be screaming louder than all of the voices in his head. He will seep into every aspect of Orton's life and infect it. He will tear Orton's life apart from the inside. Orton has no idea what he's done. He's woke up the evil. He woke up the rated R superstar. Get some sleep while you can, Randy.
Jesus.
That was a heck of a promo, y'all.
Woo, when he said that part about hugging his kids and with Kim, woo, I was like, whoa, man. Woo. That's... Masterclass and promos. Come on down.
Yeah, man. Edge put it down on that one. I like the setting. It's kind of like the empty ring arena type setting. Again, where you can get really personal, get all up in the cameras, just you, a camera in the ring. And Edge is believing everything he's saying. So, a really strong promo. Randy Orton is backstage with Charlie. He has a question. Do you know what a snake does when it feels threatened? It bites. It strikes wildly, sometimes blindly. It will do what Mother Nature intended. It will do what it has to do to survive. Edge and Christian tried to have their comebacks at the expense of Randy Orton, so he strikes. Sometimes blindly, sometimes wildly, but he will do what he has to do to defend his family and his livelihood. It's Mother Nature. He sincerely wishes that Edge and Christian would reach a full recovery. He feels they could both live long and healthy lives as long as they do it far away from Randy Orton. He has something to discuss with Ric Flair, so excuse me. Told him they could live long and healthy lives as long as they do it far away from Randy Orton. That's hilarious. That's like one of my favorite movies is this movie, this obscure Bill Murray movie called Quick Change. And there's this part where they rob a bank, and so they're trying to get away, and they're using like the public transportation, but the police are closing in on them, and there's this dude trying to get on the bus with a guitar strapped to his back. So of course every time he walks up, you know what I'm saying, he gets caught in the door. He can't get on the bus. And so he does it about 3 or 4 times, and Bill Murray is like, excuse me, sir. He gives him like a stack of money. He's like, excuse me, sir. He's like, please have a good life. Somewhere, anywhere, just not on this bus. Charlie, she's busy. She finds Charlotte Flair. Charlotte is not happy with the outcome of the match. She says targeting her arm is the only way Asuka won. In comes Nia to attack Charlotte. She sends Charlotte into the ring post of a practice ring. And then Nia slams Charlotte's arm in a laundry basket, and Charlotte Flair is injured, and now Charlotte Flair is going to be out of action for several months. She wants to take like a 6-month break. She's having some type of elective surgery, so Lord knows what that's going to be.
She come back with hips. You can thank Didi Jonay.
Hopefully she don't come back looking like Dana Brooke.
Oh, man.
But, yeah, so she's going to have this elective surgery, whatever it may be. Then she's going to add a couple of more months on from the recovery time just for, vacation. It'll be the first time she's really missed any time on the main roster since she's been there. So Charlotte Flair, she's going to have something new about her in about 6 months. And she may have to come back a little bit sooner, but her plan is not to come back into the Royal Rumble.
Yep.
What do you think about that?
Well, we've been complaining about her being on every show, for like the past couple months and everything. So, you know, this give us a give, you know, fans a chance to miss her on TV and give somebody else a chance, another woman, to get a chance to get some spotlight and everything, you know. And you know, I mean, it's going to suck not having to make the Charlotte jokes every week and everything, but you know, be somebody else on TV we can watch and see them step up and everything.
Before R-Truth versus Akira Tozawa can start, Bobby Lashley comes out to squash all of the Rudy Poos. He beats up a whole bunch of the ninjas and everything. Akira rolls under the ring and starts to hide. MVP and Lashley enter the ring. Lashley locks on the full Nelson to R-Truth. He ragdolls R-Truth, Lashley, and MVP then lead. Tozawa realizes that R-Truth is out. He comes out from underneath the ring, runs into the ring, covers R-Truth for the 1-2-3, and now Akira Tozawa is the new 24/7 champion.
Lord have mercy. That was, just, you know, so that whole thing play out because Akira went under the ring, and then Smith Lashley did what he did. I was like, oh, he about to lose the title, and lo and behold, what happens?
Yeah, it's a way to advance Akira Tozawa and this new push that he's getting. I don't know where they're going with it. So we'll just have to see. We don't know if R-Truth is going to get more serious after this. So we'll just have to kind of wait and see what the plans are for this new direction. Natalya comes out of nowhere to say she feels so bad about Charlotte's arm. She says the women's locker room needs a leader. Asuka is not that leader. She says that Charlotte dropped the ball. She could have scheduled an interview. She said Sarah, the interviewer, dropped the ball. She could have scheduled an interview with Natty. She'd love to elaborate, so she'll have to wait for her match, which is coming up next. So Natty comes out for a match, but she's not alone, as Alana is in tow. So we get Liv Morgan versus Natalya. Lana walks by to distract Liv. Natty clips the leg. She drags Liv into the ring, to the center of the ring, and locks in the sharpshooter, and Liv Morgan has to tap.
I did Liv Morgan so dirty.
Yeah, she had a couple of good weeks after she came back. They tried to give her a gimmick. That really didn't stick. They tried to give her a storyline. Nobody really wanted it. So, it's been a tough go for Liv. Backstage, Charlie asks Big Show if he thought he'd ever be fighting off ninjas. Show says there were a lot of them. He just came here to say hi and the opportunity came up. When else we get a chance to punch a ninja? He makes fun of WWE's humor, but Show says he isn't here for fun and games. He's here for what happened to his friends last week. He says people forget too soon. Big Show isn't all about fun. They forget that behind the fun exterior, there's one heartless, angry giant. He can do what he wants to who he wants, and there's nothing that anyone can do about it. So tonight, that heartless, angry giant is heading to the ring. The Nature Boy, Ric Flair, comes to the ring. He says earlier tonight, Charlotte was injured. When she comes back, Nia Jax will wish she worked and lived elsewhere. He doesn't care how big or bad Nia thinks she is. So that's Ric Flair's take on Charlotte and Nia Jax. As for Randy Orton, he says he is the greatest. He punted both Edge and Christian back into retirement. Orton is the best, and Flair wants to tell him in front of millions of people. Flair calls him both dominant and vicious. He gives us the best performer in the history of the WWE. Randy Orton thanks him for the words. It's nostalgic that they're in the ring together, half of Evolution. Sometimes, though, nostalgia can be confused with legacy. Get it? Legacy. Evolution, legacy. For example, it was nostalgic when Ric Flair showed that he is still the dirtiest player in the game. Also nostalgic, Orton punting Christian as hard as he could for accepting one more match. It's also nostalgic that Edge stepped into the ring one last time. Orton has the desire to be called the Legend Killer, but it's not nostalgia, it's cementing his legacy. In the span of 2 days, he became the greatest wrestler ever. He is receiving immense pleasure by being called the Legend Killer once again. That's when the Big Show music hits. He's angry. He He's big and he's a giant. He will not let Orton glorify what he did. Edge and Christian are his friends, and Orton will pay. Show knew that he was nothing but a narcissistic parasite since the day he met him. Show used to respect Ric Flair. He says that Orton latches on to people, just like Edge, make him better because he lacks the self-discipline and motivation to make himself better. Orton doesn't care. He's a parasite. Edge isn't done, though, but he won't be able to get the satisfaction of taking Orton out alone because this pissed-off giant is going to break every bone in Orton's body. Orton tells Show to hold on. He says Show, he's not going to touch Ric Flair, and he won't hurt Randy Orton. He says they are friends. 20 years ago, Show took him under his wing. He thinks the world of Big Show and his list of accomplishments. He is indeed a future Hall of Famer, and some might even say a legend. Orton says it would be tragic for Big Show to suffer the same fate as Edge and Christian. Big Show chuckles, then says, let's go. He squares up, and he tells Orton not to run. Orton gave him a chance. They are no longer friends. Look at what Orton has done. Orton is focused and motivated, and what happens next is on Orton, and Ric Flair and Randy Orton are like, okay, we out. Thoughts, questions, concerns, sir?
No, giving Ric Flair something to do, and they having, you know, by having him boost up Randy Orton, you know, is kind of just giving him that top villain of being a villain, a heel in on Raw. So just moving him forward. And then also having Big Show, putting Big Show in this story, and I'm like, okay, we get it. Don't have nobody for him, so let's just toss somebody in there just for a match and be done with it.
So I guess we're getting a trade. We're losing Charlotte Flair, but we're gaining Ric Flair.
Yeah, come on. I mean, well, Ric Flair, I don't know. I mean, I can deal with seeing Ric Flair, but Ric Flair will be on three shows. He's not going to be on three shows talking about, you know, his legacy and everything. Hell, he ain't want to do Nitro and Thunder.
Sasha
got him to do WCW Saturday Night.
Sasha Banks and Bayley, they faced off against the Iconics as they defended the WWE Women's Tag Team titles. Sasha pulls the hair and locks up with Peyton for the Three Amigos. She goes for the third one, but Billy prevents the third one as she sends Bayley into Sasha. We get a roll up by Peyton for a two count. Sasha and Bayley lock up again. Billy Kay tries to interfere. Sasha sends her to the outside. Then she locks in the bank statement on Peyton Royce, and Peyton has to tap, and Sasha Banks and Bayley retain the women's tag team titles.
We know what it is.
Boss Bay, the blueprint is boss time.
You know what? And somebody had mentioned this in the live tweet, and I couldn't agree more. I'm enjoying Sasha's and Bailey's, you know, going on each show as they do, as they are, you know, just doing what they have to do and everything. I'm enjoying seeing them on every show.
Yes, they're more entertaining than Charlotte was doing this. Definitely agree with you on that. Bayley gets on the mic. She says, damn, they're good. This is what happens. Sasha says she's been thinking. She knows Bayley is Bayley Doe Straps, and every time she talks about both her titles, Sasha can't help but to get a little jealous. She loves that Bayley is happy, but she can't help but to want to experience that happiness as well. What she's trying to say is she wants a title match. And at Extreme Rules, she is officially challenging Asuka for the Raw Women's Championship. It was a swerve, bro.
That was a swerve. but and then somebody else mentioned this too. Now just imagine if we had a two-woman power trip, even though it really wouldn't count because EO has the NXT Women's Championship. But you have Sasha is Raw Women's Champion, Bayley is SmackDown Women's Champion, and then they are both the tag team champions, the women's tag team champions. And that's a sort of a two-woman power trip right there.
Yeah, that would be kind of interesting. I don't think that's going to happen.
No, but... of course it ain't going to happen. That's wishful thinking, though. But
but it would be kind of, it would be a cool visual.
Just imagine how they would just, they could just probably just stroll and just be like, you know, we got these titles.
Yeah, like, this is, the promo would be just on a whole nother level.
Man, that would have to be, you know, the part in promo for us. That'd probably be promo of the year right there.
Out comes Asuka. Sasha is thoroughly confused as to what Asuka is saying in Japanese, so Asuka speaks in English for her, saying that Sasha is not the boss of her, and she accepts her challenge. That's when Bayley attacks. They double team Asuka, but Asuka fights back until she gets hit with a backstabber, and that gets turned into the bank statement, and Asuka is left laying by Sasha Banks and Bayley.
Woo!
Spicy.
Yes.
Real spicy. Backstage, Bobby Lashley's pissed. MVP says he was proud of Apollo last week with his little trick he did. Then Apollo accepted another match with Shelton Benjamin, and MVP realized Apollo has so much to learn. He's hoping Apollo makes the right decision tonight as they head to the VIP lounge. Backstage, Ruby Riott, she walks up to Liv. Liv is super sad and says, not tonight. Nothing has gone her way, and she doesn't need Ruby Riott making her feel worse.
Ruby Riott tried it.
MVP, he's in the ring. It's time for the MVP lounge. That's the VIP lounge, excuse me. He hopes his guest tonight understands what a privilege it is to be here. He introduces Apollo Crews. MVP wants to help Apollo navigate his bad decisions. MVP has already made the mistake so that Apollo doesn't have to make them. Basically, I've been through that, so you ain't got to go through that. His title is the opportunity to give his daughter the life. Apollo says he got to this point in his career without any of MVP's help. He appreciates the offer, but the answer is still no. MVP says to keep it 100. If he wasn't dropping gems, Apollo wouldn't be out here listening. Apollo can be one of the greatest. There's no rule that says he's got to be out here week after week defending that title. Apollo can stay champion for a very long time, but he won't be able to do that without MVP in his corner. Apollo wonders how that is. Will he help Shelton send Lashley? Apollo has been dealing with people like him his whole life. He won't let MVP or this title change who he is. MVP says Apollo's been champ for, what, 3 weeks? Tried doing it for 343 days. He likes Apollo, and he tried to do this the nice way twice. There won't be a third time. Whether he likes it or not, the United States title is coming home where it belongs. So Apollo gets in the face of MVP. Out comes Shelton Benjamin. MVP leaves the ring. Shelton comes in to get into the face of Apollo with a smile. MVP asks for a moment. He tells Apollo, and then that's when Shelton Benjamin attacks. Shelton sends Apollo into the corner, and MVP gives Apollo a quick lesson on never turning your back as we go to the break. So, Marvel, Apollo, Crews, soak up this game, man.
You want him to soak up that game so bad.
I mean, it's but you right know, some, there.
But you know, somehow it is. You gotta make the story, you have to have the story get told. So, you know, let the story get told. Then once it happens, then you can, like, you know, he can reap the benefits of it. I was watching you, you gonna talk up that game. I'm like, man, let the story get told first.
Yeah, I really am like, I don't want him to lose the title and then be like, dang, I should have listened to you, bro.
I hope they don't take it off of him this quick, because I'd be very upset they're not giving him a chance to flourish with the U.S. title. I'm like, come on, man. Don't do us like that.
We have our match. Apollo Crews versus Shelton Benjamin. Enziguri to the back of the head of Shelton. Apollo lifts Shelton and then turns it into the sit-up power bomb for the 1-2-3. MVP tries to lift Apollo's hand in the air, and Apollo yanks it down, of course. He tells MVP to keep his hands off of him, and then here comes Bobby Lashley to lock in the full Nelson on Apollo. You know who gets a bad rap here? Bobby Lashley, because he went from like looking like he was about to get another rematch for the championship to now going after the United States title.
Mm.
Rey Mysterio is backstage. He's got his newly one-eye mask on. Dominic comes up to ask if Rey is sure about this. He wants to show Seth how the Mysterio family rose. So Rey and Dominic comes to the ring. Dominic is all smiles as Rey tries to lecture him. He tried calling him several times last Monday. Not even the most confident father would expect his son to get out of a 3-on-1 situation. But Dominic did, and Rey is proud of him. He's also angry at him because he put himself at risk. He said Moms was really worried. Rey knows the risk, and so does Dominic. Rey is pissed for what Seth did. He nearly tried to blind him. Rey knows Dominic is bigger than him, but Rey is still his old man. And no matter how big or strong he gets, Dom will always be Rey's child. So since Dominic fought for Rey, it's time for Rey to fight for Dominic. Rey says he's got this one. He needs to get revenge on Seth. He needs to do it by himself, though. Dominic grabs the mic. He says he understands where Rey is coming from, but he's not going anywhere. So Seth, this is what a family looks like, and this family wants a fight. So out comes the Monday Night Messiah. Seth says that Dominic and Rey are putting him in a very difficult position. Does he go down to the ring and slaughter a father in front of his son? Does he go down and make Rey watch as he sacrifices Dominic? This is fate and prophecy. It seems that they are both in the same place at the same time, and two eyes are better than one. Seth drops to his knees. His disciples come down behind him, and then out come Umberto and Aleister Black. Murphy runs into the ring. Dominic attacks. He hits Aleister Black, hits a knee. Austin Theory gets in the ring. Umberto kicks him in the back of his head. Umberto then hits a dive over the top rope. Seth is all alone. Aleister Black leaves to attack. Rey enters the ring with his son. We get a 619 on the outside to Seth. Black and Umberto continue the attack. Dominic and Seth lift. Dominic and Rey, they lift Seth. They grab him and they take him towards the steps. But here comes Murphy and Theory. Seth attacks Dominic. Murphy and Theory hold down Rey. Seth grabs Dominic. He looks to send Dominic's face into the steps, and Rey is forced to watch. Seth nearly gets Dominic's eye on the corner of the steps, but here come Umberto and Aleister Black with chairs. They run off Seth Rollins and his disciples, and that is how we end Monday Night Raw.
It was close, but no cigar.
Very close. Very close. Very close. How'd you think about this closing segment with Dominic out there and Rey?
I thought it was cool. I just want to see where this is going to go. Is it going to lead to Dominic siding up with Seth, or, you know, or something else is going to happen? I'm just trying to see what's going to happen in the long run. But, you know, it's good to see, you know, Rey back out there and Dominic still get up in the mix. You know, you're like seeing Dominic getting beat down and everything. So
they ain't accommodating me here lately, but it's coming.
You want to see that boy get took to the woodshed.
Thought Seth was going to curb stomp him into oblivion a couple weeks ago, but that didn't happen. This was a rather strong episode of Monday Night Raw. I had a lot of talking, but it was very entertaining. The segment, the talking segments, all advanced stories. You know, we have the big Charlotte Flair angle with the injury now. Street Profits, Viking Raiders come to a conclusion. Now we got some new challengers for the Street Profits. I continue to like the storyline evolving, you know, MVP, Lashley, Truth, Apollo Crews. There's a lot of good stuff on this Monday Night Raw. Of course, the Randy Orton thing with him kind of being the Legend Killer again, and now Big Show, I guess, being on the radar as the next person that might get kicked in the head. So that would be very interesting as well to see how that all comes together. Sasha and Bayley doing Sasha and Bayley things. And Asuka getting that win over Charlotte Flair. So I thought this was
pretty good episode. You know, very strong episode, what we got going on.
Yeah, I mean, considering they got this done in the middle of a pandemic, yeah, this was really good. Your final thoughts or anything that stood out to you before I let you give your shout-outs and thank you?
No, I mean, we always say what we say. I'm just just watching it, just interested to see where things are going week to week. Definitely want to see where this the tag team title, the Raw tag team title, where that's going to hit on, where that's going to go to next and everything. To be interested, some interesting matches coming up between those three groups. I know it's probably going to be, it's going to be the Andrade and Garza going, trying to get past the Viking Raiders, because they want to come up as from last week and everything, from this episode and everything. So, you know, it's just all about just watching this, wait and see.
Yeah, next week, we'll have...
I was just saying Bruce Pritchard, you know, kind of getting things back in the swing of things, coming back up. So we'll see.
Yeah, the Bruce Pritchard Monday Night Raws have been fairly strong the last 3 weeks. Can't complain about too much as far as... I mean, the only questionable thing is probably this ninja gimmick with Akira Tozawa. But everything else has been pretty good and received pretty well throughout the wrestling circles and things like that. So big up to Bruce. He's doing a lot of work, though.
Yeah, I know he probably was just like years ago. He was just thinking, I'm in retirement. I won't have to worry about nothing. And Vince gives him that call.
Yeah.
Now,
back in the game, coach.
Back in, he says, what's that saying? They said, just when I think I'm gone, they pull me right back in.
Yes, sir. All right, Mo, to the under this time, sir. Shout outs and thank yous.
Oh, man, shout out to you, Dawn. Shout out to Sam, Greg, DD, Mel, because she always gets shout outs. Classic, everybody that tweets with us Mondays, Wednesdays, Fridays, pay per view times. Also, just try to be better to each other. You know, you see any stories come out, and you know, just gotta read out the bad ones. You know, so we can get back to loving. Because a couple of people I know who just kind of like stayed away, who's like kind of just taking a break from wrestling with everything coming out. So you know, we gotta you know, do what's right, and so we can get, you know, back to what we enjoy, you know. Wrestling's supposed to be that escape from what's going on in the real world, and we can't be having this trash, you know, amongst us and everything.
For sure. Definitely take the allegations seriously and, you know, proceed to do what has been done the past week or so, which is just expose people, get them up out the paint. Have their prospective companies, you know, deal with them, and, you know, we'll see some changes, hopefully. I'd like to give a big shout out to Mo to the _ Reese. Give a shout out to Miss Didi Jonay, Sam, Greg, everybody here at the WrestleCast who helps put these shows together. Miss J to the Max, all the Wrestle Bays, and all the gorgeous ladies of the WrestleCast. We appreciate you so much. Everybody here on the CSPN who puts in the time to keep the network running and, you know, provides the content that you guys hear over the WrestleCast, Cast of Strong Style, Comic Book Chronicles, Dainty Thug. Definitely appreciate everybody so much. And don't forget about the Patreon page. Listen to this past week's show where we talk about the top five NXT champions since 2014. Myself, Quintessential R, Mo to the _ Reese. We debated, listed out, and then you guys can tell us what you think about your top five champions on NXT. That's over at patreon.com/CSPN Media. Also, support our sponsors by going to CSPN.us, clicking on the tab that says Keep Our Podcast Free. In the drop-down menu, click on one of those many sponsors, do some shopping through the website so some of that purchase can come back to keep the WrestleCast and all the podcasts on the network free each and every week. So for my co-host, Mr. Mo to the _ Reese, I'm your host, Don De Laurentiis, and this has been The Rawcast. We'll see you next week.